My guest today is Rich Robinson of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, a nonpartisan, nonprofit coalition of organizations and individuals concerned about the influence of money in politics and the need for campaign finance reform in Michigan. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Thanks, Lisa. Good to be here.
Throughout this fall, and certainly on the tails of Election Day 2014, a lot has been said about the incredible volume of money pumped into this year's midterm election. At the federal level, I believe the estimate is getting close to $4 billion. And in Michigan alone, how much money was spent, and how does that compare to the last election cycles?
Well, I haven't compiled all the records yet, but let's leave it at this. In the two headline campaigns, the U.S. Senate race and the gubernatorial campaign, were probably right around $100 million. There was roughly $55 million spent in the U.S. Senate race and somewhere in the area of $40 to $45 million spent in the gubernatorial race. The key point about this is that it's outside groups, more than the candidates' campaign committees, that are now the big footprint in our election campaign. So in that U.S. Senate race, the two candidates between them raised about $20 million, and there was another $35 million spent by various super PACs, PACs, nonprofit corporations that don't disclose their donors. So most of the message that voters and viewers saw on television or heard on radio was paid for by outside groups. Now, in a federal campaign, they can't coordinate with the candidate directly. In a state campaign like our gubernatorial, there's no prohibition against coordination between an outside spending group and the candidate committees. So in our gubernatorial campaign, again, the candidates between them accounted for just over $20 million, but just the Republican Governors Association, the Michigan Republican Party, and the Democratic Governors Association accounted for another $20 million worth of television, and that's a conservative estimate. That'll go up by the time I get all the data in. So the big takeaway is that outside spending groups that are not subject to contribution limits, and many of them not subject to disclosure at all, are coming to a point where they're dominating our most important election campaigns.
And what kind of impact do you think this has had in election year 2014, the outcome of those elections?
Well, I allow for the fact that candidates do make a difference, but it was a huge effect. Again, going to the point of the messages that voters see and hear in the course of an election, most of those messages are being driven by the outside sources. A lot of it is negative. A lot of it is dispiriting to voters. I think a lot of it is designed to give potential voters a sense of helplessness or hopelessness and stay away from the polls. And that's probably borne out in our miserable voter participation again in this midterm.
Right. So all of this money that we're talking about is referred to often as dark money. And where did you see the majority of it coming from this year? I mean, I know that I've heard a lot about, say, one big entity, which is the Koch brothers, that invested heavily in the state of Michigan this year. What other sources are you seeing, or can you even find? Because part of what we were talking about earlier is transparency in all of this, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, it looks a little differently between state and federal campaigns. So let's talk about the U.S. Senate race in particular, because that was the big outside spending in a federal campaign. Of that $35 million, you mentioned the Koch machine, that family of nonprofit corporations that are closely associated with David and Charles Koch. Their efforts through Americans for Prosperity and the Freedom Partners Chamber of Commerce, which is kind of the mothership of their machine that does the fundraising and then distributes, but does some advertising on its own, that amounted to a little over $6 million in our U.S. Senate race. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce was in for another $1 million. Crossroads GPS, the nonprofit corporation associated with Karl Rove, was in for about $750,000 in television advertising. So a little over $8 million in those organizations alone. For groups or committees that disclose their donors, the Ending Spending Action Fund spent about $5.4 million in ads attacking Gary Peters in various ways. That is a super PAC associated with the Ricketts family. Joe Ricketts was the founder of what is now TD Ameritrade. His son is the managing partner of the Chicago Cubs. Another one of his sons was just elected governor of Nebraska. They did about a $500,000 ad buy through their corporate identity, Ending Spending Inc., which doesn't disclose its donors. So that gives you a flavor for the range of groups involved, at least on the Republican side of this effort. They're mainly extremely wealthy individuals who really have no limits on what they can bring to the table. And arguably, the whole U.S. Senate effort on their part was an experiment to find out if you could take a rather pathetic candidate and turn her into something that was competitive.
You've spoken quite extensively about the impact, the investment and the impact at the federal level and the federal race, in particular the U.S. Senate race. Have you seen that impact as well at the state level, the state House and the state Senate levels?
Well, the state House and state Senate campaigns are mainly funded through the caucus PACs. Each of the legislative caucuses, the House Republicans, the House Democrats, Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats, has one PAC that operates by slightly different rules than all the other PACs in Michigan. Most PACs in Michigan don't have limits on contributions coming in. Those ones do. And that limit is $40,000 a year, which was just doubled as of January 1st of this year to accommodate some donors who wanted to give a lot more money. But what's different is other PACs in Michigan can only give a limited amount to candidates, and those caucus PACs can make unlimited contributions to the candidates. Normally, they do that in the form of an in-kind contribution. They buy advertising because if they're going to spend $500,000 in a state house race, they don't trust the candidate to spend that. They want to make sure that it's spent in accordance with their plans. And so that's where most of that spending comes from.
So we're coming to almost the end of our time, and I need to ask a really critical question here. This is the first Friday Focus on the Environment. How are you seeing the political spending impacting the role that environmental issues like our changing climate are playing out in races in Michigan?
Well, there was some pushback from the environmental side of things. Tom Steyer's Next Gen Action Fund spent over $4 million just in the U.S. Senate campaign. League of Conservation Voters spent $1.3 million in the campaign. But I think the message that has gotten through, or at least what's going to be prevailing in Washington and probably in Lansing, is that what we really need is freedom for business to do whatever it wants. And so I think probably in this particular election, coal and oil won more than clean energy did, unfortunately. There was consciousness raising through a lot of the messaging from environmental groups, but I think what's happening in the legislature, both in Washington and Lansing, is let's let business have its way.
That is Rich Robinson from the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. I'm Lisa Wozniak, inviting you to join me next month for the next edition of 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment.